Man, what a blessing. And I would rather have Jesus, wouldn't you? Amen? If you wouldn't, your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, I always enjoy Brother Day and Miss Linda singing together. Luke chapter 5. We presented last night our vision night, in which we went over our new theme for the year, which is launch out into the deep. We'll also spend some time on verse 5 as well, where Peter said, "At thy word, I will." And both of those playing a hand in our theme for the year. We also passed out the calendar. There's some calendars back there in the back. I encourage you to pick one up at the end of the service if you haven't received one. I encourage you to look at that, and especially the major events, the major conferences going on, encourage you to put that down and to be in attendance. But our theme this year is launch out into the deep. Launch out. Launch out. Simply to obey God. You know what? Simply obeying God will change your life. It really will. Just simple obedience. Here we see a fisherman's encounter with Jesus, and that encounter with Jesus changed their lives. Let's look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," that's the Sea of Galilee, "and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Verse 4. "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. We pray that you would help us as we look at this life-changing event in these disciples' lives, these fishermen's lives. Lord, that we would in turn see you for who you are. And Lord, that we would have that same effect in our own lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. We think about, first off, just a little background, the Sea of Galilee, which we've described for you many times. But again, as a kid growing up, nobody really, as far as I can remember, really described the sea for us. This is a freshwater lake. It's not a saltwater lake. The freshwater lake there on the River Jordan, as it comes down to the mountains there above it. And then it comes down to the River Jordan, down to the Sea of Galilee, then on into the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea. And so this particular body of water, a fresh body of water, is 732 feet below sea level. We don't realize that. We know that the Salt Sea is, but also the Sea of Galilee is as well. This particular lake is about 20 miles long. In some places it's 16 miles wide. It's really not, and it's not any bigger than Lake Texoma. Some of you have been to Lake Texoma. Lake Texoma is about 95,000 acre lake. You think about lakes around here, Bridgeport Lake's 11,000 acres, Eagle Mountain's 9,000 acres. I know these things because I fish on them. And Tewakanisa, 38,000 acre lake. So, but again, Texoma's 95,000 acres, and the Sea of Galilee, this lake, is about 60,000 to 75,000 acres. So we kind of got to get the idea in your mind that this is not a vast ocean. And many of the other stories and the miracles which Jesus performed, in which he was walking on the water, the Sea of Galilee, he was walking on this lake, this Lake of Gennesaret. This lake was known for its storms because above it, on the north end of it, is a huge mountain range, and that wind would come down and sweep down into that valley, and it would just, within minutes, that lake can become very boisterous and storms come up, and so it's famous for that. And then we think about also the ships that they were in, the particular kind of ships that the disciples were in, these fishermen were in, were not large ships. These were little boats, anywhere from 16 feet long to possibly as long as 25 feet. In fact, here just a few years ago, they actually found one of these wooden ships, almost the hull still intact, and then brought it up out of the bottom of the lake, and you can actually see it. You can go on the internet and see it. It's about 22 feet long. And again, you think about these boats were only 4, 5, 6 feet wide. These are not big, these wooden ships, by the way. As I said on Sunday night, these were not boats like I have with fiberglass hull. And my particular boat, if you cut it in half, if you took a chainsaw and cut my boat in half, both sides would still float. It's got foam in it, and it's a double hulled, and it would still, both sides would still float. These boats were not that way. You knock a hole in one of these boats, it's a bad thing. And you think about 4 or 5 men. Years ago, and I've told this story before, the first boat I ever owned was a 17-foot fiberglass, 1976 fiberglass boat. And we went out fishing on it one time. We had the youth pastor and his wife with us and my family, which makes 7 in that little boat. And we were out on Lake Bridgeport, and we were catching fish and enjoying ourselves. It was fun. We could see the thundering and lightning off in the distance, and it just kept getting closer. We were catching fish, so I said, let's hang in there, let's hang in there. And the waves started getting up. Well, this old boat didn't have a bilge pump, had no way to pump the water out of the bottom of it. So the waves started coming inside the boat, and I said, it's time to go. And man, we began to go, and it just was bad. Waves coming in the boat, too many people in the boat, too much weight in the boat, little bitty 25 horsepower Johnson Tracker motor trying to get us over to the shore. And what a trip that should have taken 10 minutes took an hour, 45 minutes or an hour. I hit my prop, and it was terrible, terrible ordeal. The water was, the boat was full of water by the time we got to shore. I was taking, you know, Brother Gentry, some of y'all remember our former youth pastor, and I was taking him and Caleb and some of them and putting up the front of the boat because I couldn't get it on plane. It just going like this. Had so much water in it, you know, so much weight in it. So I'd put them up at the front trying to get the front down, the front of the boat down. And you know, even that small thing was a little scary, and that's actually when my wife said, go buy a bigger boat. I said, yes, ma'am, I will. But you think about their boats being, you know, 17 to 25 feet long, wooden boats. At least the one I got in the storm with was a fiberglass boat. It just boggles my mind, because I've been on those size boats. I know what it boggles my mind. They're out in the middle of this lake, and the storms come up. But anyway, that's another sermon, another message. But just to give you an idea, these fishermen, by the way, they fished for a living. They knew how to fish this particular lake. In fact, if you can read and you know that their fathers had fished this lake. It's not they knew the lake. They knew how to fish this lake. These were commercial fishermen. And yet, we see Peter say, Lord, at thy word I will. They toiled all night and caught nothing. These were men who knew what they were doing, and they'd caught nothing. But yet he said, Lord, at thy will, I will. At thy word, I will. God's word. God's word. What a great word it is. What a powerful, powerful book. The living word of God. By the way, in it you find your lessons for living this life. God's word is God's revealed truth to us. God's word is God's revealed truth to us. This is God's word to us. I hold in my hand the very words of God, without error, from cover to cover, God's Word. I think the question we must ask ourselves this year is, how will we respond to God's Word? How will we respond to God's Word? When the disciples were told to cast their nets on the other side, they said, well, we have toiled all night and caught nothing, but yet, at thy word we will. At thy word I'll cast the net. Listen, we need to understand and we need to respond to God's Word properly in this new year. I want to just ask you another question. Will you allow the Word of God to direct your life? Even though human reasoning may tell you something else, will you allow the Word of God to direct your life? Will you say, at Thy Word, I will. At Thy Word, I will. At Thy Word, I will. Is that your response? As we look here at this particular chapter, chapter 5, we see first off the ministry of Jesus as the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God. And I overemphasized that a while ago for a reason. They were pressing upon Him in order to hear God's Word. By the way, what Word of God was Jesus teaching him? They were teaching him out of the Old Testament. By the way, I'm glad the Bible tells us in the New Testament that the Old Testament was written as for our example. By the way, the New Testament tells us in Romans that the Old Testament was written primarily for New Testament saints. So we've got some people who say, well, the Old Testament was for those in the Old Testament, the New Testament's for the God, us in the New Testament. That's not true. The New Testament tells us that the Old Testament was written primarily for us. As Jesus is teaching, what is He teaching? He's teaching the Word of God. He's teaching the Old Testament to this group of people. And this group of people are pressing upon Him. They're pressing upon Him to teach them the Word of God, to preach to them the Word of God. And this is Jesus' ministry as He teaches them, as He's teaching them. He taught, He preached them. Number two, He served them. He got into their boat and had them go out a little bit so He could teach the crowd without them, mugging Him. You say, well, what do you mean He served them? I can tell you that getting into a fisherman's boat for the Son of God, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who made the sun, the moon, and the stars, to get into a small fisherman's boat would be a humbling experience, I think. For instance, if you get into our boat on any given day, our boat will stink to high heaven. I do not do a good job of cleaning our boat. It gets cleaned about every 4 or 5 months. So we enjoy fishing with bait. The bait fish we normally use is called shad. And shad is not like minnows. I mean, you can buy minnows at the store and you can take them, you can fish with them, and you can let them rot and they'll stink a little bit. Shad, totally different story. You leave one shad in the boat, it's going to stink to high heaven. I'm telling you, stink. Some of these shad we catch are called gizzard shad. They're this long. Some of them can be as long as weigh as much as 2 pounds. And then you have the little thin thread shad that long. I'm telling you, it stinks. We also fish with something called stink bait. Stinks. I'm telling you, it stinks. I'm talking about you get it on your hands, it doesn't come off for a week. I mean, you're taking like mineral spirits, you're taking gasoline, you're trying to get this stuff off. It's unbelievable. You know what works? Bed, Bath, and Beyond. That little foam pump soap they have. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. It's got some kind of miracle juice in it. Especially the pear flavored, By the way, I haven't tasted it. Pear smell. You pump it on there. I don't care what you got on your hands. Smells like pears. But I promise you, you get into a fisherman's boat, it's not the highlight of your week. It's not like being in some of you guys have those ski boats where No, a fisherman's boat's totally different. I could just see Jesus stepping up into this boat and entering the ship. God in the flesh. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ came to minister. He said He didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. He washed the disciples' feet. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. Humbled Himself. We're also seeing that He's going to meet their needs. I'm glad that Jesus Christ knows everything about us. I'm glad He knows all. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. And we're going to see that, and we've read it, but we're going to see that as we go forward in this lesson today, this sermon, that Jesus Christ knew more than the fishermen knew. They told all night, caught nothing, but Jesus Christ knew exactly where the fish were at. By the way, He could redirect the fish. Right? He could have a fish come to shore with a coin in its mouth. Amen. I mean, this is God. He's in control of everything. He's in control of the wind and the waves. He's in control of all the animals. He's meeting their need. By the way, they trusted Him. They'd already met Him. They'd already spent some time with Him. But we're going to see even a greater acknowledgement of who He is by the disciples. We're going to see a greater dedication and trust. in the Lord Jesus Christ, He met their needs. By the way, Jesus knows you more than you know yourself. I know I say this a lot, but Jesus always has your best interest in mind. Our Heavenly Father always has your best interest in mind. He knows you. Jesus ministered to this group of people. He ministered here to the disciples. He served them. He met their needs. And then we see in verse 4, He gave them a command. And He said to them, speaking to them, He said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Launch out. Launch out into the deep. Get out from shore. Let down your nets for a draught. There's lots of lessons we can learn from this. And as the year goes on, we'll teach even more. In fact, my goal would be to take each one of these phrases and preach just one sermon on these phrases, because you can do it. It's amazing. Launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Get out of your comfort zone. Leave the place of comfort. Leave the place of comfort. Leave the place of safety. I don't know about you, but I get content very easily. Right? I do. My belly's full. Got a nice home and car. Nice church. Nice family. Nice friends. Nice church family. We can become content very easily, can't we? We really can. As Christians, we just become satisfied with what we have and what God has given us. And in this illustration, it would be like us sitting on the dock. I enjoy sitting on the dock. I enjoy putting my feet in the water. I enjoy fishing off the dock sometimes. But there's nothing like getting out in the boat and fishing. Launch out into the deep. Launch out. Ask Peter to do something that was opposite of human reasoning. In other words, Peter was asked to do something that was totally contrary to his human reasoning. He had already been fishing all night. He was a commercial fisherman. He understood the lake. He knew where to fish. I've really enjoyed learning to fish. I grew up fishing on the farm where my grandparents were, and there was 5 ponds on that place. And so we fished those ponds, and I've caught lots of bass and crappie and perch. I've caught catfish growing up. You know, all my life I've fished ponds. But until about 8 years ago, I'd never fished on a lake. And especially, I'd never fished on a lake in a boat. In fact, as far as I know, 8 years ago was the first time I ever stepped in a boat on a lake. And a friend of mine, his name is Terry. Terry took me out and took me fishing. And so I've enjoyed learning from someone like my friend who knows the lakes, a friend of mine who has been on lakes all his life, who has fished all his life, who is a fishing guide and still guides today. He's forgotten more than I know. It's amazing how much he knows about fishing. And you say, "Well, fishing's fishing. You just put a cork out there." But I'm telling you, it is amazing. I know Kevin's in here. He's a bass fisherman. You know, I used to think fishing wasn't a sport until I actually went out and tried to fish. There is techniques to it. There's ways in which you fish. There's certain ways you fish. In certain weather, in certain conditions, you fish differently. Different fish require different ways of fishing them. It's amazing. Peter understood fishing. He understood not only fishing, but he had fished on this lake all his life. Apparently his dad had fished on this lake. Every human reasoning within him would say, "I told all night and I've caught nothing. There is nothing to catch. The fish are not here." By the way, it's amazing. This particular fish they're probably catching is tilapia. It's a certain kind of, it's called Peter's fish now. But then it was a certain kind of tilapia. They schooled together. A lot like we would say sand bass, or some of y'all know what white bass are. They school together, but in certain times of the year, they're spread out. I mean, at certain times of the day, they're spread out. Sometimes they don't congregate. And I could just think of Peter trying to reason with his own mind. "We've told all night, Jesus. We told all night." By the way, he called him something different, didn't he? He called him Master. We'll talk about that in a moment. He asked him to do something that was contrary to his human reasoning. By the way, the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith it is impossible to please God. God desires in our lives to get the glory. In other words, God desires in our own life to do something in our life that's only going to be attributable to Him. In other words, there ought to be times in your life that you look back and you say, God did this for me, God this did this for me, God did this for me, and it can only be attributable to Him, that He did it.
Amen.
That He did it. I'm telling you, there ought to be times like that in your life, and if there's not, then you've never really stepped out by faith. You've never really launched out into the deep. You've never got beyond your comfort zone and did something that in your own mind may be beyond human reasoning. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is asking them to launch out into the deep when it was contrary to what Peter knew. God desires us to launch out into the deep. How do we launch out into the deep? We launch out into the deep at His Word. We need to have a proper attitude towards the Word of God. Listen, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And how do we launch out? We launch out at His Word. When He speaks, we should move. When He speaks, we should go. Listen, this morning, if you're here, and you are here, by the way, if you're here and God speaks to you, if that still, I'm not talking about some audible voice that's speaking in your ear. If that happens, you may have another issue. God does not speak in an audible voice anymore. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that He did that in the Old Testament, but He doesn't do it in the New Testament. Make that clear. If you hear an audible voice from God, you've eaten too much pizza or Mexican food or whatever the case is. But the Bible says He speaks to us in that still small voice. The Holy Spirit that abides in you will speak to you. And as you hear the Word of God preached, or as you're having your daily devotion, or as you're having a devotion with your children, or you're hearing a good song, or a good gospel song, and the Lord speaks to your heart, at Thy Word I will. In other words, what and how should we launch? We should launch out at His Word. Anytime He presses upon our heart, anytime He lays upon our heart to do something, we should do it. Where do we launch? We launch out into the deep. As I said, I enjoy in the summer sitting on a dock and perch fishing or crappie fishing off the dock, maybe cat fishing off the dock, putting my feet in the water. That's enjoyable, especially if it's 125. But that's not what Jesus is asking us to do. He's asking us to launch out into the deep. He's asking us to go way out. Faith does not operate in the realm of possibilities. He's asking us to launch out into the deep. I don't know all the song, but that's Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Some of y'all can sing it for me. My wife could sing it. I grew up in a very sheltered home, sheltered environment. My dad and mom would not allow us to listen to anything other than gospel music and mostly Southern gospel music. And so a lot of the songs that my wife was raised differently than me. She was not raised in a Christian home. Her dad didn't get saved until she was 10. She was raised different than I. So, and Brother Wiggins is the same way. What's funny is when we're around each other and we're in a restaurant or something, Brother Wiggins and my wife can sing all the songs on the radio. It's coming over the deal. And I don't know any of them. I'm like, I don't know idea what you're talking about. But I've lived a sheltered life. And by the way, I'm glad of it. I'm glad my dad was that way. I'm better off for it. Amen. But there's an old song called Sitting at the Dock of the Bay. And I'm not going to read all the words to it. But it says, sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll in, watching the tide roll out, wasting time. That's the kind of the main phrase. Wasting time. We need to be careful that we're not just sitting at the dock, just wasting time. Just wasting time. Where are you sitting at? And where are you at? I can tell you this. Our church does go through cycles. Every church does. By the way, your life does as well. Our lives go through cycles. You know, sometimes we're a little more aggressive and our lives seem to go forward. And then there's some times in our life where it seems like we're not going forward. And there's some times in our life where we seem like we're going backwards. Right? In the church life, it's the same way. Churches go through cycles. Sometimes we're going forward. Sometimes we're standing still. Sometimes we've gone backwards. I'm telling you, it's absolutely true in every life in here. Most of that has to do with you and me. It has to do with our attitude. It has to do with our faith. And I can just tell you, as a church and as the preacher, the pastor of the church, I want to see our church continue to go forward. I want us to continue to launch out into the deep and see God do some impossible things. And we've seen that. We'll go into that more in just a minute. Where are we to launch? We're to launch out into the deep. We're to step out by faith. Go beyond where we've been. We're to go out into the deep expecting. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. This is one area in which we have a very difficult time as Christians. We're to launch out, but we're to launch out expecting God to do what He said He would do. We are to launch out into the deep believing on Him. He said to Peter, let down your nets, plural. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible or circled, you ought to. He said, let down your nets, plural. But when they let down their net, singular. We ought to launch out into the deep, and we ought to launch out to the deep expecting God to do something. By the way, He is able. And then as we launch out to the deep expecting Him to do something, we should expect a blessing as we are in obedience to God. And I'm telling you, the devil fights against this. The devil fights against we as Christians launching out to the deep. He'll get us discouraged. That's one of his weapons. He wants to discourage you. By the way, discouragement is a sin. To be discouraged is a sin. That's another whole message. We can preach it later on. But the devil loves to use that. He loves to use, number two, he likes to use fear, doesn't he? God is not the author of fear, but of joy and of love and a sound mind. And when we are fearful in our own lives, when we are fearful concerning jobs and family and all these things, we must be reminded that it's the devil that's using that weapon against us. The Lord has promised to take care of us. We must remember we're to launch out into the deep, but we're to launch out in the deep expecting God to do what He said He would do. We're to leave the shore, and God will take care of us. I tell you what, we live in a country that is totally changing. And in my own mind and in my own reasoning, our country has changed more in the last 4 or 5 years than it possibly has changed in the last 20 years. It is amazing how quickly our country is just headed down the wrong road. And boy, it can be discouraging, and we can dwell on it, and we can listen to Fox News, and we can listen to all the other things, and we can get a little discouraged. Can I tell you, our country's changing, but our God never changes. And He's not saying, okay, well, the country's changing. I need to be safe and get in my comfort zone and be content where I'm at and can all I get all I can and set on the can so that I protect what I got. No, He's telling you to launch out into the deep. Our God never changes. Such situations may change in your own life, but that doesn't exempt you. It doesn't exempt me from launching out into the deep. To go beyond our comfort zone. To get out from the dock. I'm glad our God is able. I love that chorus. He's able. He's able. I know He's able. I know our God is able to carry me through. And there's a great chorus to that. I'm glad He's able. Not only do we see Christ ministering to this crowd, not only do we see the command of Christ, but we also see the actions of the disciples. The actions of the disciples. The disciples. As disciples, what should we do? Well, we see what the disciples did here. Verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, notice that, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. As disciples, we must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As disciples of the Lord, as born-again Christians, we must have faith in Jesus. Peter here refers to Him as Master. The word Master means teacher, guide, or ruler. By the way, if He's Master, your response to His word will be, at thy word I will. As Master, we are His servants, and therefore He is in charge, and when He tells us to do something, we will do it. Master, nevertheless, at thy word I will. Is He your Master today? Is He your Master? I think about various areas in which we surrender to Him and then various areas which we don't. We should be fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus. He is our master. He is our commander. Have faith in Jesus. No excuses. Peter said, Master, we toiled all night. We've toiled all night. Lord, I don't understand. I know you're encouraging me, you're telling me to do this, but I don't understand. We have toiled all night. We've worked for years at this. We've worked at years at this. Lord, we've tried it on our own. How many of you have done that? Yeah. We've caught nothing. We've taken nothing. But at thy word, I will let down the net. I want to remind you that partial or delayed obedience is disobedience. By the way, it's something you should teach your children. When your children do not obey, and they do not obey immediately, they're disobeying. Well, sometimes as parents, we have been directed by some to do 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out, and that's not what the Bible teaches. And that is that we should teach obedience from our children the first time they disobey. Amen. I want to encourage you, anyway. It's the same thing with the Lord. Disobedience, or partial obedience, is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And here Peter, he does try to bring human reasoning in, but then he says, Lord, at thy word, I will let down the net. I will let down the net. Master, my leader, my guide, my ruler, I will let down the net. I just want to encourage you this morning to step out. Launch out into the deep at His Word. When we purchased this property, and I mentioned this Sunday night, we purchased this property 12 years ago now. That was launching out into the deep. We raised $30,000 in 30 days, had to have $60,000 down. And I mean, God supplied that. People, I know of a couple of families that, those little credit card checks you get in the mail. Now, whether you agree with what they did or not, doesn't matter. But they wrote a $1,000 credit card check to help with that down payment our church needed. And some others had garage sales. I mean, some had the money and gave it, of course. But many people in this church launched out into the deep. Our church launched out into the deep. We built this first building. And after all the issues and all the things, that was launching out into the deep. It's amazing. But look at the blessing. Look at the blessing. When you launch out, look at the blessing. By the way, I was nervous. I get nervous every time we do something. When we built this building, I was nervous. Weren't some of you? Feel that little bit of twitch on the inside? Every time we do something, every time we change staff members, every time something happens, I get nervous. We're to launch out to the deep and the Lord tells us to do something. He'll keep His word if we'll obey. As we go on, verse 6 through 8, we see Jesus for who He is. And when He had done this, verse 6, they had closed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners who in the other ships that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And God greatly blessed them, didn't He? And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And for he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. When we see Jesus for who He is, when we see the miracles and the blessings that God puts in our life, as we look to Jesus and see Him for who He is, we see ourselves for who we are. I'm telling you, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and His train filled the temple, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, Woe is me, a man of unclean lips. As we see Jesus for who He is, what a difference and a change it'll make in your life. The disciples knew Jesus, but here we're going to see that they followed Him after this. They saw Him for who He was. They saw Him for who He is. And it changed their life. And I'm telling you this morning, when you see Jesus Christ for who He is, when you get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ for who He is, when you have that personal walk and that personal devotional time, and that when you walk with Jesus daily and you see Him for who He is, it will change your life. When you step out in obedience to Him, when you launch out into the deep and you see the blessings of God, it will change your life. Has it changed Peter's life? Has it changed his disciples' lives? Verse 10 says, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." What did the disciples do? What were the disciples' actions? Number one, they had faith in Jesus Christ. Said, "At thy word I will." What did the disciples do? They saw Jesus for who He was, who He is. Number three, they were to bear fruit. No longer were they to be fishermen, but they were to catch men. These were disciples of Jesus, and their goal, their job, their aim was to launch out into the deep and become fishers of men. Can I tell you that we ought to be soul winners? That we as Christians ought to tell others of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me this morning. Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago. The God of the universe who made the sun, the moon, and the stars. The God who brought life into existence. That same God became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and God became flesh. And Jesus Christ dwelt among us for 33 and a half years. Lived a perfect life. Never one time did He have a sinful thought. Never one time did He perform a sinful deed. He was sinless. Sinless perfection for 33 and a half years. And not because of sins of His own. And not because of wrongdoings of His own. They laid Him on a tree. In fact, the Bible says He laid Himself on that tree, on that cross. And the Roman soldiers picked Him up and put Him in that hole, in that cross in that hole. And there Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood for me. The Bible says that my sins were laid upon Him. That there on the cross He died for my sins, not for His own sins, but He died for my sins in order that I might have eternal life. In order that I might escape hell and have a home in heaven. In order that my sins might be forgiven, Jesus Christ was buried, died and was buried, and 3 days later He rose again from the dead. Listen, we're to be fishers of men. We're to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to others around us, to our neighbors and friends. Jesus told His disciples, these fishermen who became disciples, from henceforth you should be fishers of men. I remind you, as disciples, we're to be fishers of men. As disciples, we're to put our trust in Jesus Christ. As disciples, we ought to see Jesus for who He is. But as disciples, we ought to be fishers of men and tell others of the good news. By the way, people are dying and going to hell. Hell is just as real as heaven. We need to be reminded that people need the Lord. Lastly, as disciples, we are to follow Him. Verse 11, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him." It's a verse there in the New Testament where Jesus said to a group, He said that you should hate your father and your mother, your brother and your sister. And what He was saying there was that our love for Jesus in comparison to our love for our family, that there is no comparison. That the love we have for Jesus, the dedication we have to Jesus, that love in comparison to the love we have for our family should look like hate. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. They left all. They forsook all and followed Jesus. How much do you love Him this morning? Are you willing to leave all and follow Him? Are you willing to spend time and dedication and following Him? Are you willing to take the resources God has given you and follow Him? Are you willing to take your talent and follow Him? Whatever talent that may be, whether it's teaching, whether it's help, whatever area, are you willing to forsake all and follow Him? As disciples, we should. We should launch out into the deep. Launch out. Get out of your comfort zone. Step out by faith. Do something that God has laid upon your heart. There's some here this morning that in years past, God's laid something upon your heart and you haven't done it. Or you have done it partially. Can I just tell you this morning, launch out into the deep. Obey the Lord. He'll bless you for it. He's able to perform whatever He asks you to do. Launch out into the deep. Get beyond your comfort zone. Get off the dock of the bay. Some of you are just wasting time. Well, we don't need to be wasting time. Jesus Christ is soon to appear. The time for harvest is fastly approaching. The end of harvest is fastly approaching. The good news of Jesus Christ needs to be spread. We need to tell others of the good news. We need to follow Jesus. Launch out into the deep. How deep are you in? In other words, are you fully committed to this thing of Christianity? Are you fully committed to Jesus Christ? See, Peter was a fisherman. He knew the lake. They told all night. Human reasoning would say, we're done. But when Jesus, the Master, when the Lord, the guide, the ruler, told him to cast his nets on the other side, he said, at thy word I will. He launched out into the deep. How far out are you? Are you toes deep? Are you ankle deep? Are you knee deep? Are you waist deep? Are you neck deep? Are you all in? As a Christian, are you all in? Heritage Baptist Church, are we all in? Are we that deep? I mean, are we willing to step out by faith and do some things that are beyond our human reasoning? Listen this morning, we need to launch out into the deep. And for us this year, my prayer as we go along, as we preach more upon the subject, is that in 2014, we'll do more for the Lord and we'll get out further from the shore than we've ever gotten before. I'm not saying, not everybody's going to be on the same level. Your deep is not my deep. I'm 5'9", 10", if you ask me tomorrow. Some of you are taller, some of you are shorter. Launch out into the deep. Let's all stand. Hymn 167, Just As I Am. Launch out into the deep. By the way, he said, cast your nets, plural. As I said Sunday night, we at Heritage Baptist Church are casting our nets, plural. And whether it's the fall festival, whether it's Tuesday night, Saturday morning visitation, soul winning, whether it's anniversary Sunday, whether it's harvest Sundays, whether it's the fall festival, whether it's a mother's banquet, whether it's family nights, whatever it is, we at Heritage Baptist Church want to not just cast one net into the water, we want to cast a bunch of nets into the water. And I want to encourage you as members of Heritage Baptist Church to use those nets as a way to invite people, as a way to give the gospel out. God will bless you for it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time we've had. Lord, I pray that you've allowed me to convey the message in such a way that would have encouraged people, our people here that are gathered today, to launch out. I pray that you would touch their hearts as you've already touched mine. As you have just told me and encouraged me to be fully surrendered. I pray today as Christians that we would all be fully surrendered, that we'd all get out into the deep water. Lord, bless this time. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name.